أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly infinite matters in this deen. That every newly infinite matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. Continuing with As-Sahihu al-Musnadu من أحكام النكاح تأليف مصطفى ابن العدوي حفظه الله. The authentic narrations pertaining to the verdict of nikah or marriage by Mustafa ibn al-Adawi حفظه الله. And now we come to the chapters أبواب الخطبة, or the chapters of a proposal in marriage. And the Shaykh, he begins with the first section, the first chapter, الحث على نكاح الأبكار, the encouragement to marry virgins. وقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا أبو النعمان قال حدثنا هشيم قال حدثنا سيار عن الشعبي عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال قفلنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غزوة فتعجلت على بعير لي قطوف فلحقني راكب من خلفي فنخس بعيري لعنزة كانت معه فانطلق بعيري كأجود ما أنت راء من الإبل فإذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما يعجلك قلت كنت حديث أهد بعرس قال أذكرا أم ثيبا قلت ثيبا قال فهلا جارية تلاعبها وتلاعبك قال فلما ذهبنا لندخل قال أمهلوا حتى تدخلوا ليلا أي عشاء لكي تمتشط الشعث وتستحد المغيبة. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim in Sahih, where Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله said that it was narrated to us by Abu Nu'man, who said that it was narrated to us by Hushayn, who said that it was narrated to us by Sayyar on the authority of Al-Sha'bi, on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdillah radiallahu anhu, who said that we had finished a battle with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I hurried to get on a camel that I had. And then someone caught up to me from behind. And then there are some phrases, and I forgot the meaning of it. And he said, there was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behind me, and he said, why are you hurrying? And I said, I had recently gotten married. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, was it a virgin or a lady that was previously married before? So I said, it was a lady that was previously married. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why didn't you marry a virgin so that you could play with her and she could play with you? So when we got back and I wanted to enter upon my wife, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take it easy until the night time comes, meaning after Isha, so that she can comb her hair and shave her private parts to prepare herself for you, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had intended. Also, the Shaykh, he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, where he says, حدثنا إسماعيل بن عبد الله قال حدثني أختي قال حدثني أخي عن سليمان عن هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قلت يا رسول الله أرأيت لو نزلت واديا وفيه شجرة قد أكل منها ووجدت شجرا لم يؤكل منها في أيها كنت ترتع بعيرك قال في التي لم ترتع منها يعني أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يتزوج بكرا غيرها. And this is authentic where Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, he says that it was narrated to us by Ismail ibn Abdullah, who said that it was narrated to me by my brother on the authority of Sulaiman, on the authority of Hisham ibn Urwa, on the authority of his father, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said that I said, O Messenger of Allah, do you see if you had come across and settled in a valley that had a tree, and that tree was eaten from before, and then you found another tree that no one had ate from before, which one would you let your camel eat from? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one that nobody ate from before. And this means that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't marry a virgin other than Aisha radiallahu anha. So the Shaykh, in both of these hadith, he shows encouragement for marrying the virgin women. The next chapter, Nikah al-Tayyibat, marriage of the women who were married before. وقال الله تعالى عسى ربه إن طلقكن أن يبدله أزواج خيرا منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات ثيبات وبكارا. From Surah Al-Tahrim, verse number 5, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, perhaps his Lord, if he divorces you, perhaps his Lord, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he divorces you, referring to all of his wives, that his Lord will replace him with wives that are better than you, referring to his present wives, alayhi salatu wasalam. Muslim women, believing women, obedient women, repenting women, women who worship their Lord, fasting women, women who are married already before, and women who are virgins. And the statement of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا حمار بن زيد عن عمر عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال هلك أبي وترك سبع بنات أو تسع بنات فتزوجت امرأة ثيبة فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوجت يا جابر فقلت نعم فقال ذكرا أم ثيبا قلت بل ثيبا قال فهل لا جارية تلاعبها وتلاعبك وتضاحكك قال فقلت له إن عبد الله هلك وترك بنات وإني كرهت أن أجيئهن بمثلهن فتزوجت امرأة تقوم عليهن وتصلحهن فقال بارك الله لك أو خيرا. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim in al-Tirmidhi and al-Nasai, and it's authentic, where Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, Musaddad narrated to us, he said that Hamad ibn Zayd narrated to us on the authority of Amr and on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, who said, my father died and he left 7 daughters or 9 daughters, so I married a lady that was previously married before. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, did you get married, Jabir? So I said yes. So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was it a virgin or a lady that was already married before? So I said rather it was a sayyid or a lady that was previously married before. So he said, why didn't you marry a virgin so that you could play with her and she could play with you and you can make her laugh and she could make you laugh? So I said, indeed, Abdullah, and this is Jabir's father, Jabir ibn Abdullah, his father Abdullah, he says, indeed, my father Abdullah died and he left some daughters. And I hated to marry someone just like those daughters that my father left. So I married a lady that could correct and handle those daughters that my father left behind. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Barakallahu lak, or may Allah bless you, or let that be good. And in some of the narrations, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Asabta, or you have made a right decision. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he says, as he explains or adds or comments on this hadith, he says, we see in this hadith that it's prescribed Islamically for the lady to serve her husband. And also to serve whoever is with her husband, from his children or his brothers or his family. Whoever's listening in on the Elmo line, can they put their mute button on? Whoever he has with him from his children or his brothers or his family, that it's also prescribed Islamically that his wife take care of them. And there is no harm for a man to have his intentions to marry a lady, for that lady to take care of his family that he has already. Even though it's not compulsory for that lady to take care of them. Rather, this was the customs of the past, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't deny them or go against them. And our Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi, he said that, we had already explained this hadith before in some of the chapters that has we previously covered. Now, the next chapter, عرض المرأة نفسها على الرجل الصالح, a lady presenting herself to a righteous man. In the statement of Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله, حدثنا علي بن عبد الله قال حدثنا مرحوم قال سمعت ثابتنا البناني قال كنت عند أنس وعنده ابنة له قال أنس جاءت امرأة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعرض عليه نفسها قالت يا رسول الله ألك بي حاجة فقالت بنت أنس ما أقل حياءها واستوأتاه قال هي خير منك رغبت في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعرضت عليه نفسها. And this is also collected by Imam al-Nasai and Ibn Majah, and it's authentic. Where Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, he says that it was narrated to us by Ali ibn Abdullah, who said that it was narrated to us by Marhumun, who said that I heard Thabit al-Bannani say that I was with Anas and his daughter was with him. And Anas said, a lady came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she presented herself to him. She said, O Messenger of Allah, do you have any need for me? So the daughter of Anas, she said, this lady has no shame. And they were thinking bad about her statement or something like that. And Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, that lady was better than you. She desired to marry the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so she presented herself to him. This statement of the Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi in his chapter, Presentation of a Lady, or a lady presenting herself to a righteous man. And many of the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, when it deals with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, that many of the ulama, they apply some of those verdicts to either the people of knowledge or the people of taqwa after the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but we see this in the case of this chapter of our Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi, and he didn't say the presentation of a lady to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show that it was specifically for him alayhi salatu wa salam, but he said the presentation of a lady to a righteous man to show that the example was set with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, but it also applies to those who come after him sallallahu alayhi وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. الله نصبر. لو بيتو سمار كنو أمي باهم هو if the brothers and sisters in Baltimore are with us, if they can hear us, just say that you can hear us or something. The next chapter, Al-Insanu Ya'aridu Ibnatahu Aw Ukhtahu Ala Ahl As-Salah. A person presenting his daughter or his sister to the people of righteousness. فقال الشيخ الصالح لموسى from Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 28. Wa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, verse number 27. Wa Allah, he says, قال إني أريد أن أنكحك إحدى ابنتي هاتين على أن تأجرني ثماني حجج. Wa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, referring to the righteous man talking to Musa, Musa alayhi salam, he says, I want to marry you to one of my two daughters that I have right here, that this be the reward of you working for me for 8 years. And the statement of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, before we quote this hadith, there's a question. The first hadith you mentioned about the man who the Prophet ﷺ told he should have married the virgin. After that statement of the Prophet ﷺ, you could read the rest of the hadith again. Jazakallahu khairan. I don't know if that was the last hadith or the, well, she said the first hadith you mentioned. After Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, marry a virgin so she can play with you and you can play with her, then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, take it easy until the night time comes, which means after Isha, to give the lady time to comb her hair and to shave her private parts in order to prepare herself for her husband. Now, excuse me. I don't know that I mentioned that. She mentioned the first hadith, and there was a couple of hadith that we mentioned. At any rate, every time we seem to mention these hadith, there's always a big discussion. If you mention the hadith of the Messenger of Allah salam, that I encourage people to marry a virgin, then the women, if they're not a virgin, then they get up all uptight. Really, Islam, alhamdulillah, is the deen of all humanity. I did a talk before called Save the Community, Take Another Wife, and I think we may have did the talk again, because the women were offended, unfortunately, by that talk, which was just quotations of Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the statements of the ulama. We retitled the talk, and we did it again, I think, called Virtues of the Maiden, or the lady that was previously married before, and showed that there are virtues in Islam. And then the sisters even asked after that, bring some more. And really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I was unaware that there was more text from the Quran and the Sunnah, as we brought quite a bit, as it took a long time to prepare for that talk, to present a text from the Quran and the Sunnah to show the virtues of the lady that was previously married before. And even on top of the text, we had even stretched some of the cases to show virtues of the ladies that were previously married before and of marrying them again. But the issue shouldn't be personal. Once it's the issue of the Quran and the Sunnah, then we should submit to it and not be amongst the people who when the Quran and the Sunnah is mentioned, then they take their own desires and they follow it. Rather, we should take the advice of Imam Malik rahimahullah, where he said, لا تعارضوا السنة وسلموا لها. Where Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said, don't oppose the Sunnah, but submit to it. And really, this should be all of our positions. When we hear the Sunnah, we just say Alhamdulillah, instead of the back and forth. And this is the same way with the issue of the brothers. When we do the class, the rights that a lady has over a husband, why are you always quoting all that stuff to support the women? The women are the ones guilty. Then if you quote the hadith that show women must be obedient to their husbands, then the women start complaining, why it's always the women? SubhanAllah al-Azim, what in the world do people want us to do if we can't just take some time to quote the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam? Some of the Quran is for you and some of it can be against you. It's going to be on you. If you submit to it, inshallah, it's all for you. And if you don't submit to it, then it can be against you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Yeah, inshallah, we'll quote it tomorrow. As a part of the khutbah, inshallah ta'ala. And we quote it before in the talk. Let the sunnah go forth, the Toronto version of that, inshallah. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, حدثنا عبد العزيز بن عبد الله قال حدثنا إبراهيم بن سعد عن صالح بن كيسان عن ابن شهاب قال أخبرني سالم بن عبد الله أنه سمع عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما يحدث أن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه حين something حفصة بنت عمر من خنيس بن حذافة السهمي وكان من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فتوفي بالمدينة فقال عمر بن الخطاب أتيت عثمان بن عفان فعرضت عليه حفصة فقال سأنظر في أمري فلبثت ليالي ثم لقيني فقال قد بدا لي ألا أتزوج يومي هذا قال عمر فلقيت أبا بكر الصديق فقلت إن شئت تزوجتك حفصة بنت عمر فصمت أبو بكر فلم يرجع إلي شيئا وكنت عليه مني على عثمان فلبثت ليالي ثم خطبها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأنكحتها إياه فلقيني أبو بكر فقال لعلك وجدت علي علي حين عرضت علي حفصة فلم أرجع إليك شيئا قال عمر قلت نعم قال أبو بكر فإنه لم يمنعني أن أرجع إليك فيما عرضت علي إلا أني كنت علمت أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد ذكرها فلم أكن لأفشي سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو تركها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبلتها. And this is authentic and also collected by Imam al-Nasai, where Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he said, it was narrated to us by Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah, who said that it was narrated to us by Ibrahim ibn Sa'id on the authority of Salih ibn Kaysan, on the authority of Ibn Shihab, who said that it was reported to me by Salam ibn Abdullah, that he heard Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu report that Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu at the time that Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, was divorced or separated from Khunais ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi, and that he was from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he had died in Medina. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he came to Uthman ibn Affan and he presented Hafsa to her. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said, let me take a look at that. So he waited around, Umar said, I waited around for a couple of nights, and then Uthman met me and said, it has become clear to me that I don't think I'm going to get married today. So Umar, he met Abu Bakr and al-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma, and he said, if you like, I will marry you to Hafsa, the daughter of Umar. So Abu Bakr, he was quiet, and he didn't respond at all. And Umar, he said a statement, I don't really understand it, and I didn't get time to check it out. At any rate, he said, so I waited some nights, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed for Hafsa, and I married Hafsa to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr, he met me after that, and he said, maybe, and then there was that phrase again that I don't understand clearly. You presented Hafsa to me, and I didn't respond with anything. So Omar said, yes, I remember when that took place. Abu Bakr, he said, the only thing that prevented me from responding when you presented Hafsa to me is that I had already knew that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned her before. So I didn't want to spread the privacy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but if the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam would have left her, I would have married her. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says in the next hadith, حدثنا عبد الله بن يوسف قال حدثنا الليث عن أقيل وعن أقيل عن ابن شهاب أن عروة بن الزبير أخبره أن زينب بن أبي سلمة أخبرته أن أم حبيبة قالت قلت يا رسول الله إنكح أختي بنت أبي سفيان قال وتحبين قلت نعم لست لك بمخلية وأحب من شاركني في خير أختي فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن ذلك لا يحل لي قلت يا رسول الله فوالله إني إنا لنتحدث أنك تريد أن تنكح ضرة بنت أبي سلمة قال بنت أم سلمة فقلت نعم قال فوالله لو لم تكن في حجري ما حلت لي إنها لابنة أخي من الرضاعة أرضعتني وأبا سلمة ثويبة فلا تعرضن علي بناتكن ولا أخواتكن. And this is authentic. Well, Bukhari rahimahullah, he says that it was narrated to us by Abdullah ibn Yusuf, who said that it was narrated to us by Layth on the authority of Aqil, on the authority of Ibn Shihab, on the authority of Urwa ibn Zubair, who said that it was reported to him by Zainab, the daughter of Abu Salama, and she reported that Umm Habiba said, that I said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marry my sister, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, would you really like that? So she said, yes. And besides, I'm not alone with you anyway, and I would like that my sister would share with me in this good. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, she is not permissible for me. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, I swear by Allah that we are talking, or the people are talking, and they're saying that you want to marry the daughter of Abu Salama and to make her your co-wife, and to make her our co-wife, or something like that. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam said, the daughter of Salama. So I said, yes. So he said, I swear by Allah, if it wasn't that she was under my guardianship in my house, she would have been permissible for me. But indeed, she is the daughter of my brother from breastfeeding. Thuwayba breastfed me and Abu Salama, so don't present to me your daughters or your sisters. And this hadith is authentic. Imam Muslim rahimullah, he says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ بْنُ أَبِي شَيْبَةٍ وزهير بن حرب ومحمد بن العلاء واللفظ لأبي بكر قالوا حدثنا أبو معاوية عن الأعمش عن سعد بن عبيدة عن أبي عبد الرحمن عن علي قال قلت يا رسول الله ما لك تتنوق في قريش وتدعنا فقال وعندكم شيء قلت نعم بنت حمزة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنها لا تحل لي إنها ابنة أخي من الرضاعة. And this was also collected by Imam al-Nasai, and it's authentic, where Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he said, there was narrated to us by Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba and also Zuhair ibn Harb and Muhammad ibn Ala, and this is the exact wording of Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba. All of them, they said it was narrated to us by Abu Muawiyah on the authority of Al-Amash, on the authority of Sa'd ibn Ubaid, on the authority of Abu Abd al-Rahman, on the authority of Ali, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, why do you choose the Quraysh and you leave us? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you have something? So I said, yes. the daughter of Hamza. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, she's not permissible for me. She is the daughter of my brother from breastfeeding. This chapter, it seems like we have covered this chapter before, and we just want to emphasize on it again, inshallah ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This might be one of the ways to tighten up our ranks as Muslims and a community, inshallah ta'ala. And that is when we start to marry our sisters and our daughters and our mothers to each other, when we become friends and brothers in Islam, then that could tighten up the ranks, as you saw in the case of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that soon as his daughter's husband died, first thing he was thinking of, and this is of course after the Iddah is taken care of, to present his daughter Hafsa radiallahu anha to the righteous, and Uthman, the third Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, and also the shyest one of this Ummah radiallahu anhu. And then after him to Abu Bakr, the first Khalifa to the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, and the rest of this Ummah after his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam had eventually married her. And Abu Bakr, he said that the only thing that prevented him from marrying her was that he knew that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam wanted her. And this, inshallah, should all be advice to us that some of the intermarriages or marrying amongst ourselves has to begin somewhere, inshallah ta'ala. And we hope that this is encouragement for us, as we see in these texts where they were encouraging to marry. Also we see something in there, and that is that that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he knew that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted someone, so he left that for the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And this might be the same case as somebody knows that brother so-and-so wants to marry sister so-and-so, but he might try to beat him to her instead of letting the brother, you know, take care of his business. And if things work out, alhamdulillah, and then if things don't work out, then and only then after that he would marry her, instead of doing what like some of the people do. Hey, listen, he ain't gonna marry her, I'll marry her. And then you already like putting your bid already. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he could have said, listen, I know the Prophet wa sallam wanna marry her, but listen, you don't gotta force her on him. If he don't want her, I'm gonna take her. So this wasn't the way, as we saw it, that they would let their brother handle his business, and then if there was anything left for him, then he would take it. And not that everybody is so eager to go over top of their brother, as well, alhamdulillah, there's enough women for everybody, even though you can't convince the single brothers of that. But there's a lot of women around, except that the people are a lot more choosier nowadays than they were in those days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We're looking for a lot now. They were looking for the deen then. We're looking for a lot now, and they were looking for the deen then. As we know, in the case of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam, after his wife Khadija, and this was before prophethood, that everyone he married was women who were married before, except Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam didn't get any children from those wives. And the Prophet sallallahu kept on marrying alayhi salatu wasallam. And this is just to show us that marriages in Islam, to marry someone who has the deen and to have companionship, and that everything else that's going to come with it, of the wealth and the children and what have you, all of this is from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. I just hope that we let this be an encouragement for us to present our sisters and our daughters to each other, so that we can become a little tighter. Instead of the statement, some of the people, I ain't gonna have my brother jumping all over jumping all over my daughter. I had no old head jumping all over my daughter. And if you remember the issue of Omar was amongst the younger companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. Omar was amongst the younger ones, and I think that younger than the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam for sure. And his daughter is going to be married to the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet is older than Omar. So you can imagine the daughter is even younger. But that wasn't the case that some old man is going to be jumping all over top of my daughter. The younger people can do a lot more a lot more damage sometimes than older ones. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا خُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The issue is taqwa and piety in this deen, and this is what we should be considering instead of this, some of the people think, as one of the brothers he was saying, you're waiting for Superman to marry your daughter. But Superman is a fake made-up character that's not around, and those real kufar boys are. And really this has been the case for la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that so many of the innocent Muslim girls have been abused by the kufar men. Even to the point of one time the Muslims ready to kill a kafir for jumping out the Muslim girl's window, and it was the girl who let him in. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And this is because everybody says, well, she's not ready to get married, or that I ain't having somebody jumping on top of them, or, and the girls are not ready to get married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. They might not be ready to get married, and they're ready to do something else. And marriage and the responsibility that comes with it, inshallah ta'ala, will be learnt over the years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and protect us. Now, you straight? Or you want one of the brothers to present their daughter to you? Inshallah ta'ala, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me truthful in the statement that when Muslima gets of age, inshallah, the brother that I see to be amongst the brothers on the deen, I'm going to present Muslima, inshallah, to him. And then the next one, Asma, and then Fatima, and then Aisha. Down the line, inshallah, time. You wait for that time, huh? Inshallah, time. Because the issue isn't always age, like some of the younger girls think. They think the issue is age, and no offense to the younger brothers, but the younger brothers don't have much to offer, except for the younger brothers who got their acts together. And then you can marry them to them, but a lot of the younger brothers, they don't have their acts together. Just a whole bunch of joking and playing and no responsibility. And you want to marry your daughter to somebody who will be responsible, whether he's from amongst the younger brothers or from amongst the younger brothers or from amongst the brothers that's a little older than that. May Allah help us. We'll end with this last chapter, inshallah. Ayyun Nisa'i Khair. Chapter, which women are the best women? And the statement of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, حدثنا يحيى عن ابن عجلان وعجلان قال حدثني سعيد عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي النساء خير قال التي تسره إذا نظر إليها وتطيعه إذا أمر ولا تخالفه فيما يكره في نفسها ولا في ماله. And this is collected by Imam al-Nasa'i also in his authentic, where Imam Ahmad rahimullah, he says, it was reported, narrated to us by Yahya on the authority of Ibn Ajlan, who said that it was reported to me by Sa'id on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked which of the women are the best, and he says, the one that when you look at her, she pleases you, and when you command her, she obeys you, and she doesn't oppose you in those things that you dislike about her, or she doesn't oppose you in your wealth. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allah. Brother's asking, can you clarify the last hadith where he said the best women are those who, when you look at them, they please you, and when you command them, they obey you, and she doesn't oppose you in those things that you dislike about her, and she doesn't oppose you in your wealth. It's been some time since I read the explanation to this hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to the meaning of that. maybe we can go on by next week, inshallah ta'ala. Or if you see me later on, inshallah ta'ala. Yes. Brother is saying, the hadith says to like take care of your business with your wife after Isha. Suppose you get married after Maghrib. The whole issue in this hadith is give your wife time to prepare herself for you. Remember, they're coming back from a journey. So it's not like nowadays you call, honey, I'll be home at 6 o'clock. Alright, in those days you just get home when you get there. So you like get in town and say, you know, I'll be home after you get in town. I'm back, honey. Going to the masjid, inshallah. I'll be back after Isha. Give her time. Now she knows you're home. Give her time to prepare herself. So this is what is meant to give the women time to prepare themselves for their husband. And this is an encouragement for the women to prepare themselves for their husband. And maybe we can take an example from our case. Maybe you come home and your wife had just finished cooking and everybody ate and she's washing the dishes, whatever. So you might take it easy and correct some homework paper or something until your wife prepares herself, and then bismillah. Allahumma jannabana shaytana wa jannabana shaytana wa jannabana. There was I don't know if anybody thought I was going a little fast today, but it seemed like sometimes a lot of the stuff that we covered seems like 100 times. And I wanted to get to this chapter, نَظَرُ الرَّجُلِ إِلَى مَنْ يُرِيدُ التَّزَوَّجُ بِهَا. A man taking a look at the lady that he wants to marry. And we can just look at one of those hadith where the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, إِذَا خَطَبَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَرْأَةَ فقدر أن يرى منها بعض ما يدعوه إليها فليفعل. And this is authentically collected by Imam Ahmed. And we'll deal with the chain and the other people collected this hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if one of you proposes to a lady, if one of you proposes to a lady, I'm just repeating it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only said it one time, if any one of you proposes to a lady, and then he has the ability to see her, or see some of her, or to see that which would make him like her, then do that. Alright, this issue of looking, it's after you make a proposal. Now you want to get a look. Or what she look like. But first you want to make your proposal and find out how old is she, and what's some of her hobbies, and how is her deen, and this and that. Then you want to marry her. Like somebody would say, I want to marry Muslima. I say, she's only 8 years old. Oh, I can't marry nobody no 8 years old. So it's known already. He don't have to go around looking, which one Muslima? I know his name is Muslima. I mean Muslima's daughter, right? Which one her? Alright, did he get a look? Alright, tell him I want to marry her. But the brothers, they going around looking for a look. Then when they look, then they want to marry. And this is backwards. First you want the proposal. Then after the proposal, things look good. Then you want the look. Otherwise, we're going to be like sinners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Because really, everybody's just trying to look. So everybody's just looking. And that's zina. The eyes commit zina, and the zina is the looking. Thinking that they were proposed to somebody's wife, because they just saw somebody. Listen, I ain't see what was under that niqab and that shilbab, but may Allah have mercy on what's under it. I said, Allah have mercy on what's on it, and He blessed me with it. Now what you doing looking at it? So really, this has been a problem, and it just seems to continue, and I don't know what the brother is going to need to help them understand that. The issue is they want to make some proposals. Or as we were getting the encouragement in the hadith, people want to come to them. And many of the people come to the brothers, I got a sister for you, good deed, this, that, characteristics, and the brother say, nah, I can't work with that. How you can't work with a sister with good deed? Then he mentions some little flimsy dunya excuse. Ah, what a sister's too thin. Oh, what a sister's too big. Oh, what a sister's too short. Oh, what a sister's too tall. And all a whole bunch of whatever that has nothing to do with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there's anything left. Yeah. The brother said, the sister, she want to marry her brother. So she tell the wali, check brother so-and-so out for me, I think I want to marry him. And then the wali, he checked the brother out, and then the brother declined. The wali declines the brother's offer. Alright, let's look at it in two cases. One is the case where she's a virgin. And the word is the wali's word. The word is the wali's. He declined, and he know better. You slick, and the girl don't know any better. And the wali knows better. So the wali declines, and he has every right to do that. The other case is, in the case where the sister was married previously, and then she knows what she wants, and a husband. So she says, and she tells her wali, I want this, that, whatever, and then his name is so-and-so. First she lists her characteristics, and then she hears about brother so-and-so, or she looks at brother so-and-so, and she says, yeah, it's brother so-and-so. When the wali go to check brother so-and-so out, he find out that brother so-and-so don't have those characteristics that the sister said she was looking for. Alright, really, something else changed her. He was handsome, tall, dark, and handsome. And then she forgot all about it, so she was just saying, I want to marry him. And this happens a lot with the women. They don't know nothing about marrying. Say, lady say, I want to marry that brother. She describe him out. So then the brother comes, you say, sister, listen. I don't think you should marry him because he's a lady beater. No, he looks too fine to be beating on women. All right, if you like, we'll let him beat on you. All we have to say is, alhamdulillah, and it could be a done deal if you like. So really, the wali, you know, he has a role, and he has some advice and what have you in the case, and his word could be like that. The brother, his issue is to present his case, and if he's accepted, alhamdulillah, and if he's not, like we used to say, there's more fish in the sea. Really, there's too many women for people to be all uptight over a lady. That he never even, it ain't like you've been with the lady, and you know what it's really going to be like, or nothing, this is not. So you don't know if people all in love ain't been alone together ever. What's all that love? You know, so really sometimes people know better than some of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in Allah knows best. Nah. No, the ayah was when the man, he presented his two daughters to Musa. You work for me, Musa, alayhi salam. I marry you one of my daughters, whichever one you like the best. And this was just to say, huh? Yeah, this is just to say that people should present their daughters to righteous people. Nah. You know, the people they see to be amongst the righteous brothers in the masjid. At least I got a daughter, would you like to marry my daughter? There's this age, this, that, whatever, so on and so forth. The brother's told me they're waiting for you to say that.
I want him to say that to me.
No, y'all can't make no switch off. That's your heart. Oh, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Was somebody online with us, or if they was?
Right now?
Last off. Yeah. I don't know whether any was the chapters again here. Which women are the best women? The ones, when you look at them, they look good. And when you obey, when you command them, they obey you. And they don't have any opposition of what you dislike in them. And they don't oppose you in your wealth. Those things could be known about women already. You know, the look after you make the proposal and all of that, you're going to find out if she's obedient and stuff like that. Does she object? Like you say, sister, I don't like you wearing green. Green's, she's not going to say green's my favorite color. You don't like me wearing green, alhamdulillah. She ain't wearing green no more. Whatever you don't like in the sister, she's not going to oppose you in that. Listen, sister, I just don't like you doing that. Okay. We got a lot to go in the book of marriage, as you can see. We just like just getting started. We're on page 85, and it goes up to page 358. Divorce, we almost finished, inshallah. And we said right after the divorce, we're going to do the issue of polygyny. Because the brothers, they still don't understand that when they get married to another wife, the first wife, for lack of better words, is going to flip. And the brothers is like amazed. What's your problem, sis? I'm just getting married. I mean, you just get married. You just want to cut my days in half and this and that and on. You talking about what's up? I thought we was in love. You talking about being with somebody else? And then the brothers, they all amazed at this, like they don't even understand the nature of the women. I mean, this is how women are. I mean, what's the thing? The men, they're just supposed to be in control. It's gonna be all right, baby. But you can't ask them. You can't expect for them to say, "Yeah, I know it's gonna be all right." They ain't gonna say that. You gotta tell them it's gonna be alright, and they know it's not gonna be alright, and everything's gonna be alright. Inshallah. May Allah help us.
Amen.
Then there was the other issue of a lady presenting herself to a righteous person, and a person presenting his daughter or sister to a righteous person, and then the marrying of the virgin and the marrying of the ladies that were married before. There's no other questions? No. قصص عن تحريم what's the number of the surah? It's like 65 or something, 66, whatever, 60 something. The brothers and sisters from Baltimore, if you have any questions, we're about finished up. If there's anything left. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله.